Hi, I'm Sean Steinsmith, and when I'm not rocking out on a drum set, I'm listening to John Garrett on the Green Apple Podcast.
Welcome to episode 121 of the Green Apple Podcast, where each Wednesday I interview a professional known for a hobby or a passion, making them stand out like a green apple in a red apple world. And when I tell you to imagine an apple in your head, I'm sure for most of you it was red. Right? Because in school, A is for apple. Remember that picture? It's always red, because that's the stereotype. But the interesting thing is that all apples actually start out green, and then as they grow on the tree, over time, they turn red, turning into the stereotype. And just like that, we all have these hobbies and these passions that we started out with, but then professionalism slowly squeezes them out of us, turning us into that stereotype, and letting us forget about these hobbies and these passions that we had outside of work. And that's what I love to shine a light on each week, is people that are shattering that stereotype. And I'm also doing some research. It's super short, a one-minute anonymous survey about firm culture and how maybe the Green Apple message might apply in your world. So if you've got just 60 seconds, please go to greenapplepodcast.com. There's a big green button there. You answer a few quick questions. Again, it's totally anonymous, and I so appreciate your help. And thanks so much to everyone for subscribing to the show so you don't miss any of the cool guests, like this week's Sean Steinsmith. He's a member of the 2017 AICPA Leadership Academy and named 40 Under 40 by the CPA Practice Advisor. So this assistant professor at Lehman College in the Bronx is absolutely killing it. I mean, congratulations, Sean, and I know you're a super busy guy, so thanks so much for taking time to be with me on the Green Apple Podcast.
Awesome to be here, John. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, I'm super excited to share you with everybody, and you know, after talking with you on the phone, and congrats on being in the Leadership Academy for the AICPA.
Thank you.
So that's really exciting, man.
Yeah, I mean,
really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, and it was an awesome opportunity and an awesome, really sort of learning and growth experience for me. So
yeah. Well, buckle up, because this is round two. But I gave everybody a little bit of an introduction to you, but maybe in your own words, it's best probably and safer for everyone, just in your own words, like what you're up to now and a little bit of how you got there.
Sure. So currently right now I'm a assistant professor at the City University of New York. And sort of prior to that, I held a variety of roles in corporate accounting and corporate finance in the for-profit and in the not-for-profit areas as well. And really how I got here was that I enjoy talking about accounting and finance, and I'm pretty good at it. So I'm also happy to be here to sort of talk about that today.
Yeah.
And be doing it now for a job. So.
Yeah, man. No, that's fantastic. As an assistant professor, I mean, you got to really, really like accounting, like really like it. So what made you want to go into that to begin with?
So I took my first accounting class when I was in high school, and actually I was just over there actually last Thursday. I was giving a talk to some students there.
Oh, nice.
On career opportunities in the field. Yeah, and I think it's important for individuals, you know, who are in the field or really in any field, if you do have the opportunity, to try to give back.
Yeah.
So, all right, so John, I have a funny story for you. So when every kid is in school, they always ask you what you want to be when you grow up.
Right.
Kind of job you want to have and all the rest. And when I was about 7 or 8, my answer was, I wanted to own a bank.
Okay.
And the reason was that I figured that the banks had all of the money there.
Right, so
that,
right.
And if I owned the bank, then I'd be in good shape.
Exactly, because you don't even have to make money. It's already there. It's
exactly.
In the business. Right.
Exactly. So, I mean.
That's hilarious. It's so funny, man.
So, I mean, sort of being interested, you know, in accounting, finance, and business, I've been interested in this stuff for as long as I can think back.
Right.
So,
yeah, my friend and I in high school, we wanted to open a toll road.
Okay.
Because we just thought it was free money. We didn't think that there was any maintenance, or it was like, oh, we just collect money from people for driving down our road.
Yeah, the parkway.
Yeah, yeah,
come on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's awesome, man. And so early on, I mean, it's just always what you wanted to do, and now you're making it happen, and now you're making other kids' dreams come true as well.
I'm trying.
And so I know that takes up a lot of time, but what sort of hobby or passion do you love doing when you have some free time?
Okay, so the hobby that really that is, I think, sort of shocking to people, you know, as I share it to them. But I think is also very good from a business point of view is that I've been playing the drums since I was about, I'd say, 8 or 9 years old, right? I've been playing the drum my entire life.
And this is like drum kit, like...
Oh, yeah. No.
Like, not just like a pot with a spoon.
No.
Like, or a bongo drum or something. No, this is like drum kit. That's awesome, man. That's so cool.
I think so. And to be honest with you, John, that's the reaction that most people have.
Yeah.
Sort of like, oh, wow, it's cool. And two, that they're surprised that... You know, I play the drums.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they're so surprised, but they're always surprised.
Well, that's great, man. So how did you get into it? Just you were like, hey, I want to play the drums, and then made it happen?
Well, when I was a kid, I was looking for something to do as sort of a extracurricular activity,
right.
And I was not terribly good at sports.
Okay.
I'm not terribly athletic.
Okay.
So I was looking for something that would be, fun and enjoyable, and I gravitated towards... music, and then I gravitated towards really the drums because, I'm being honest with you now, is that really, like, the drums or the beat of any band or any group is sort of the driving force of it.
Right,
so
right.
So I thought that, hey, and so I thought, if I'm going to be involved in music, I want to be sort of the driving force, I want to be involved.
Yeah.
In sort of how the whole band goes.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. I mean, and you never get any of the credit, but you're like the center of the offensive line. You know, no one knows your name, exactly. But if you do poorly, then everything falls apart.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic, man. And so you just, get the drum set and then go from there. And I mean, you've played professionally as well. I mean, people have paid you now to do that.
And I mean, I've had a great opportunity to really sort of maximize my interest in playing the drums. I mean, I was in school, I was in the marching band, I was in band camp and all that. I did all of that, in high school. I was in the college pep band for several years.
Okay.
I was in the college
pep. Sure.
I played drum set for them. And then, I've had, I guess, 3 or 4 opportunities where I was actually paid to play the drums as part of a pit orchestra, right, for a local cultural arts center that was putting on some shows.
Sure.
And a great opportunity to sort of leverage my interest in music and to sort of also earn some money on the side.
Yeah.
While doing something that I like doing.
That's great, man. That's great. Is there one moment where you're like, man, this is as good as it gets, or one of your favorite stories about playing the drums?
I was playing it's a drum set. So I was playing it and I was being paid to play it in this instance, but I was actually the drummer for a performance of the Broadway show Cabaret.
Okay.
Yeah, so anybody who knows anything about music or Broadway, it's a very interesting show, right?
Right.
And so they actually had myself and the person who was playing the keyboard, on that show right in the middle of the stage.
Oh my gosh.
And I was up on a platform, and there are pictures online of me playing the drum set for Cabaret,
right?
And I'm sitting there playing it, and I'm like, it cannot get better than this.
Right.
I'm having fun. I'm right. Center stage. I'm literally the center of everyone's attention.
Yeah.
And I'm also having fun.
Right.
So that for me was an awesome opportunity, and I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, 8-year-old Sean is like, I made it. This is it. take that, athletes.
Yeah.
I'm just like picturing it all. I can't wait to. I'm sure we'll have it at greenapplepodcast.com so people can check out that picture.
There actually are some videos too. So
even better. And so, do you feel like, because a lot of people think that hobbies and passions don't really matter, or they're just throwaways or whatever. Do you feel like playing the drums has made you better at being a CPA? There's some skill that translates over.
Honestly, John, I would think so. Right? Because honestly, if you're playing the drums, and it could be any instrument, right? I chose the drums because I was good at it and I was interested in it. But if you're playing any instrument, one, you have to be able to sort of analyze the sort of bigger picture, right? How you fit into what else is going on around you.
Right.
And obviously, I think that's a role that a lot of CPAs have to play.
Yeah.
In industry, in public practice,
yeah.
Or they own their own firm. All CPAs have to work in that broader sort of context. And also, what you're doing
yeah.
as either a musician or as a CPA has to work with what else is going on around you. So I do think having that experience and sort of mindset,
right.
so taking that almost a step back and observing the business as a whole,
yeah.
and then to understand the sort of how what you're up to and what you're doing fits into what else is going on. I think those are two ways that playing a instrument, or in my case, playing the drums, has certainly helped me.
Yeah, I mean, because that's exactly it. I mean, you know, I played trombone in the marching band. I don't want to brag it up. I mean, it's no drums, but you know, hey, it's
well, I mean, obviously, come on, the drums are
right. Exactly, guys, right? Exactly. Just don't tell the trumpets; they get really angry about everything. but yeah, I mean, you know, you certainly do. You understand your piece in the whole picture, and how each part is very important. And they all play a certain role. And yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that is that comes in handy, you know, when you get out of school or when you're in the office. And so do you find that when people find out about this, that they have a lot of questions?
I would say that probably the sort of first reaction is the reaction that you had probably when I told you. It was like half like, right. oh wow, this is amazing, and then half shock or surprise. Like, oh right. Really, you play the drums? You have a drum set? You so like, because everyone yeah. thinks that immediately when you play the drums you're gonna turn into a drummer from Motley Crue,
right?
Yeah, you know,
like, right, right. I would say Def Leppard, but you have both
yeah,
arms. I
saw there we go.
So like, you know, like, that guy's amazing.
No,
though.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, in spite of that, he's an awesome drummer.
Yeah.
But everyone has certain expectations, right, of their CPA,
yeah,
and then of people, you know, who are interested or who are playing the drums, and so it's normally a combination of like, oh wow, awesome, and then sort of a shock or surprise that, you know, I'm yeah. doing this.
Right, right. And have you found anyone else in the business world that also plays drums when it comes up?
Sure. So while I have not found other folks that are playing the drums, I find people all the time that are in the business world or who are CPAs that also play instruments, right? That play the trumpet.
Oh, okay.
Trumpet, the yeah. trombone, you know, all kinds yeah. of different instruments out there.
Right.
I do think that all of that sort of ties back to what the two of us were talking on earlier, is that really sort of playing a instrument, and regardless of the instrument in question, sort of forces you to think about yourself in that broader context and to make sure that all of the pieces are working in lockstep.
Right. That's really cool. And I'd have to imagine that your relationship with those people that are musicians is probably a little bit of a different relationship than the people where there's no connection at all, or it's strictly business talk.
Absolutely, right? Because I think we all have a work identity and then a out-of-work identity. And sort of the individuals that have known me who are in the office, most of them know if we interact for a certain period of time, they do know that, you know, I play the drums, I like music, and I'm very interested
right.
in all of this.
Right.
But all of the people that I meet outside when I'm playing the drums, all of them do know what I do for a living. So yes, it is different.
Yeah.
Right. There's sort of a different sort of backdrop to it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing. You know, of the people that see you drumming and then they find out you're an accountant versus the people that know you're an accountant that then find out you're drumming. I wonder which group is more surprised. Probably the accountants that then find out that you're a drummer, because that's probably like, wow. Okay. And why is it that you think there is this work identity and outside of work identity? Why isn't it just one identity?
I would honestly think, John, that it boils down to what we are sort of tasked with, right? Whether we work for a company or we own our own practice,
right.
or we're coming in as a auditor or some kind of consultant role, we're tasked with being experts in a very technical field
right.
that has a tremendous amount of rules and regulation, and that is sort of constantly evolving. So in our work role as it is currently defined, I mean, we sort of have to be experts and be serious and be very, I think, up to date and knowledgeable in those sort of technical areas that are changing and that are going to impact our clients and customers and partners that we're are working with. Sort of that, I believe, has to be separate from any sort of, currently at least, right, has to be separate from any sort of, hobbies or sort of more creative type activities that we are engaged in outside of work. And because obviously, right, the sort of joke goes that the last two words you want to hear together are creative and accounting.
And accounting, right. Exactly. But I mean, I would imagine that, doing the activity, but talking about it, is that frowned upon, or that's okay?
Absolutely. I think and talking about the activity, and
not leading with it necessarily, but proving that you're good at your job first.
Well, no, I wouldn't open with that phrase, like, hey, I'm Sean, I play the drums, and I'm a CPA, right? I wouldn't lead with the drums part.
Right.
I would probably lead with the sort of the expertise being good
at
my job and sort of the tasks that I'm assigned to do for you.
Yeah. And then, I play the drums.
I do think adding that adds some extra depth to you as an individual and the person, and also build some extra trust and depth to the relationships that you have with the people that you're working with.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, because that's the thing. Like, if you used to tell somebody I'm an accountant and I play the drums, I bet nobody has ever said to you, oh, really? Tell me more of that accountant part. It's like nobody.
No.
Nobody. I mean, they're like, drums? No. What kind of drums? What are you talking about? Drums? Like 50 questions on drums, because that's what people are interested in. Because no matter what job you have or what position you have within that firm or company or school or whatever, the drums are with you all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool, man. Really cool. And so is this something that you were open to share even early on in your career?
I mean, it would depend, right, on the individual and I think sort of the context, right, of our work relationship.
Yeah.
But I'd say that anybody who has worked with me on a continuous basis for over a year or so knows that, one, I'm very interested in music, and two, that I do play the drums. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty comfortable sharing.
Right. Because, some people just feel, like, oh, it's going to take away from my image as an expert or as a CPA or what have you, because it's not something that typically you would think CPAs do for whatever reason. Do you have any words of encouragement to anybody that listening that's like, maybe they play the drums, but they're afraid to bring it up at work if people ask?
I would be open about it, right?
Sure.
Because
yeah,
I think, one, and I'm a little biased here, I think that playing the drums is awesome and that it's very cool. So I think most people are pretty happy to hear that.
Right.
And I think most everyone likes music and is interested in some kind of music in some way, and if you're involved in that and you're playing the drums, I don't think that it's a negative thing to share.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely, because I think then you find out, all of a sudden you're elevated status to, not only are you a CPA, but dude plays the drums. Like, what?
Exactly. And I think that's a big benefit of it, because it adds some depth to you as a person, right, and as a individual.
Yeah.
Because it adds some extra layers to you, and it also helps you seem more approachable and more real, which does count for a lot when you're working with other people.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that I always think about, though, is how much is it on an organization to create that culture where, it's cool to share. It's okay to share. It's okay to have hobbies and passions outside of work. It's okay to not have accounting be the end-all be-all of your life, or law, or consulting, or whatever your job is. How much is it on that firm or that company to create that culture? Or how much is it on the individual to kind of lead the way and create a little small group on their own, whether or not the culture supports that or not?
I think both ends, right? Because the company has to be open to having employees that are people,
right?
Because sort of regardless of whether you're a dentist, a CPA, an attorney, or a architect, you are going to have hobbies and activities that are happening outside of work.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's healthy and natural for people to have those hobbies and to talk about them with the people that they're interacting with the most, on a daily or a ongoing basis.
Right, right.
So I do think encouraging that is important from the side of the firm,
right,
or of the company. But it's also up to the individual, right, to sort of find people who you feel comfortable with,
yeah,
and who are open to sort of talking about things that happen outside of work.
Right.
And I think being willing to share these outside hobbies and activities.
Right.
To with them.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of people, I think, yeah, I mean, they're just, I think the fear is mostly in your own head, you know, because once someone asks and you tell them, then, you know, it's cool. I mean, no matter what it is. I mean, one time I was talking to a firm and I asked, okay, who's got the most boring hobby in the room? Like, shout it out. I want to hear the most boring one. And a woman yelled out genealogy. And another lady from the other side of the room yelled out, that's not boring. I do that too. and it's just like, what do you
see? So that's not
see?
Boring at all,
I mean, because you know? I was going to be like, that's not boring. That's awesome. I mean, because then you find out that you're like seven removed from a king or something. And it's like, what? Like, that's amazing. And so, yeah. So, I mean, I think we downplay our hobbies and passions and what we do in our own head, you know, and that we don't want to seem braggy or we feel like maybe I'm not that good, you know, but no one's good. That's why you have a real job. Have you seen any firms or companies or where you've worked or peers of yours that are doing some cool things to encourage this?
Sure. I mean, at the organizations that I've worked at, and I've had the benefit of working at some firms that are very open about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say that pretty much everybody is encouraged to sort of form those friendships, right? And those bonds with the people that they work with on a daily basis and those individuals, although not on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis. And we're encouraged, you know, to sort of be actual people.
Yeah.
And to sort of talk about things that happen outside of work and then, you know, how they'll impact us at work. So yeah, I mean, I believe that there are quite a few firms out there now who are encouraging people to be, you know, although not totally open, but sort of more open about their hobbies and activities outside of the office.
Right, right. And just, you know, and I think too is a lot of partners and upper management, they share amongst themselves, they open up amongst themselves, but sometimes they're afraid to do that in front of staff. And so I think that that's what's most important is to, you know, show by example that, you know, hey, it is okay. And the smaller the group, the more the tone at the top matters. Yeah.
If the upper leaders now, it could be partners, it could be a CFO, you know, it could be anybody who's at the top of that corporate structure. But if they're open about it and they sort of talk about their hobbies and their interests outside of work, then that in and of itself will help to encourage people to be more open and to share so their hobbies too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, this has been really, really great. Really great, Sean. But before I take the train over to New Jersey and hang out with you and do a drum duet, is that even possible? Is there a drum duet where we can both
absolutely
drum?
Absolutely.
Well, there is now. That's for
You're
sure.
You're on the cowbell.
Right. Yeah. There we go. Cowbell with my gut hanging out all Will Ferrell style. That's awesome. Nailed it. I will be all over that. But I have my 17 rapid fire questions that I like to run people through just to make sure that
okay,
you know, that we can hang out and be friends, because you know, you never know. Okay. People are suspect. So
absolutely.
Let me fire this thing up here. I'm going to fire this up. All right, here we go. I'll start you out easy with the first one. Start you out easy. What's a typical breakfast?
A typical breakfast is scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs. All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite actor or actress?
A favorite actor, either Will Ferrell or Colin Farrell.
Oh, not related, ironically enough. Would you say you're more of an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird.
Early bird. All right. Do you have a favorite color?
Blue.
Blue. How about a least favorite color?
Your least favorite color, red.
Red. Okay. All right. Are you more pens or pencils?
Pens.
Pens. Yeah. How about Sudoku or crossword puzzle?
Crossword puzzle for sure.
Interesting. All right. And now when it comes to financials, are you more balance sheet or income statement?
Income statement.
Okay. All right. And do you have a favorite adult beverage?
I'd say light beer.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. How about a favorite number?
Favorite number, 8.
8. And is there a reason?
Just because it rolls off the tongue easily, and I sort of like how it looks.
Yeah, it's a balanced number. It looks good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite band or a musician yourself?
favorite band, although it's changed over time. I'll be Blink-182.
Yeah, nice. There we go. Would you say you're more suit and tie or jeans and a t-shirt?
I'd say jeans and a t-shirt.
Okay, all right, all right. Do you have a least favorite vegetable?
I mean, Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah, that's a solid answer right there. That's a slam dunk. Yeah. Now, when it comes to computers, are you more PC or Mac?
I'm a PC guy.
Yeah, me too. Now, when it comes to your mouse, are you a right click or a left click?
Left click.
Making decisions. All right, we got two more. All right, do you prefer Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars, I mean, come on.
Right. That's awesome. That was the best. You're like, is this even a question?
Yeah.
All right, and the last one, the favorite thing you own or the favorite thing you have?
So I have a autographed baseball because I am a New York Mets fan.
Okay.
So I have a Jacob DeGrom autographed baseball.
Sweet. Yeah, the pitcher, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think those are pretty cool.
No, that's fantastic, man. That's really cool. Well, thank you so much, Sean, for being with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
Absolutely, John. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wow, that was so great. I loved how Sean said, having a hobby adds extra trust and depth to your relationships with people. And this is something that happens subconsciously, so it's really great that Sean realizes this for himself. And I also loved how he added that firms need to be open to having employees that are real people. It's much more than just the billable hour, and the sooner that firm leaders realize this, the better it is for everyone, including them. It's a huge impact on the bottom line. If you'd like to see some pictures of Sean on the drums or connect with him on social media, be sure to go to greenapplepodcast.com. And while you're on the page, please click the big green button and do the anonymous research survey about firm culture. So thanks again for subscribing to the show and for sharing this with your friends so they get the message that we're all trying to spread, which is to go out and be a green apple.